Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan. And I submit, told the lead God, my word is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness, and it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard. But I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none. Just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say. But I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenants. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real. And help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm going in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family. And the fact that I can't is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me. Feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I signed Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fool, it's in my blood for show. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. And killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is just because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knot. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trial. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our Messiah, our warner, our comforter in present day and time, and is always with us and always defending us as much as we say we are defending him. So I thank all of you for joining us tonight, and welcome back to our live study group, Put on the New Man. We're going to be reviewing the time and what must be done, and we cannot do any of this without our beloved brother and host and minister and friend and number one Crip Walker on the Florida coast, our beloved student minister, James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Queen Aziza. How are you, dear sister?
I'm just blessed by Allah's grace and mercy to be here.
All praise
Thank
be
you.
To Allah. And I know we have our beloved brother, friend, and our panelists as well tonight, Brother Reginald Wynn.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
All praises due to Allah. Always. You are always welcome. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, we are forever grateful and thankful to Almighty God Allah for making his presence known to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, July, or actually 1931, in Detroit, Michigan. And then he, making his presence known to us all, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, the supreme being in person. We thank him for raising up his messenger Messiah, the arisen and exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can never thank Allah enough for that one whom, through the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, he fashioned and shaped and prepared for this most critical and prophetic hour at which we have arrived. The hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of both the wicked and the righteous, and the hour of the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak, who is the centerpiece of all of this magnificent and prophetic drama, that man who I refer to as my personal redeemer, I am blessed to be, by Allah's permission, a student in his ministry under the teaching of his father and ours, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am referring to the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, the man of the hour. And it is in their names, dear family, brothers and sisters, our listening and participating audience, that I'm very happy and honored to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Once again, we say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam,
sir. Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And I trust and pray that all of you, or actually pray and trust, that all of you are doing well, enjoying the blessings of Almighty God Allah. Tonight, dear family, with the help of Allah, we will be discussing the shadow government, part one and part two. Those are episodes 56 and 57, given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those weekly lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done. As it is our custom, we want to lay a scriptural base as a foundational stone to the subject matter. We would like to read to all of you, to all of us, from Thessalonians, the second chapter, regarding this subject matter. It reads, starting with the first verse, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, before I read on, I'd like to look at those words, particularly the word that, because it's referencing a specific and particular man, not just any man. Let us look at that word, that. It can be used as a pronoun and adjective. In its pronoun usage, it is defined as used to indicate a person, thing, idea, state, even, or, I'm sorry, event, time, remark, etc., as pointed out or present. Mentioned before, supposed to be understood or by way of emphasis in that, or for example, that is her mother. After that, we saw each other. Number two, used to indicate one of two or more persons, things, etc. Already mentioned, referring to the one more remote in place, time, or thought. Opposed to this, this is my sister and that's my cousin. Number three, used to indicate one of two or more persons, things, etc., already mentioned, implying a contrast or contrast distinction, as in opposed to this. This suit fits better than that. Number four, used as the subject or object of a relative clause, especially one defining or restricting the antecedent, sometimes replaceable by who, whom, or which, as in the horse that he bought. Used as the object of a preposition, with the preposition standing at the end of a relative clause, the farm that I spoke of. Number six, used in various or special elliptical constructions, such as fool that he is. Now, I wanted to clear that word because when the scriptures use that pronoun, that, it's referencing a specific and particular person, place, or thing. And so, therefore, the scripture says, that day shall not come, referencing the day of judgment, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now we have a couple of more words that we'd like to clear that we might get a better understanding of this particular scripture and its context. Let's look at the word sin. The word sin is defined as, first of all, it's a noun. It's defined as transgression of divine law, as in the sin of Adam. Number two, any act regarded as such a transgression, especially a willful or deliberate violation of some religious or moral principle. Number three, any reprehensible or regrettable action, behavior, lapse, etc. Great fault or offense, as in it's a sin to waste time. As a verb, it is described or defined as to commit a sinful act, to offend against a principle, standard, etc. Now, understanding what we just heard, we see that we are focusing on a specific time, that day shall not come, and then a specific man, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, of transgression of divine law, of reprehensible and regrettable actions or behavior, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let's look at that word, perdition. I hope that you will be patient with me, but I really would like us to understand what the scripture in the prophetic sense is telling us. Give me a moment, please.
Take your time, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The word perdition as a noun is defined, number one, as a state of final spiritual ruin, loss of the soul, damnation. Number two, the future state of the wicked. Number three, hell. Number four, utter destruction or ruin. Number five, obsolete, loss. So here now we are clear that there is a specific day. There is a specific falling away from a specific man, that man of sin, the son of perdition, the son of destruction, the son of spiritual ruin, the son of damnation, the son of hell, utter destruction, the son of law. This is very interesting because we have to identify that one, because if we are in anticipation of the judgment and then the redemption, and to my Christian brothers and sisters who may be listening, if we are waiting for that day when we shall be taken up with Christ, which happens before the judgment or after the judgment, both before and after, then we need to identify that man of sin from whom we should be falling away. And we should identify that one who is revealing that man of sin. Let's read on. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. This is the behavior of that man of sin, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, let's look at these two verses. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, meaning eat up, meaning devour, with the spirit of his mouth. Here now is a particular spirit, which is the spirit of God's mouth, that has the ability to eat up and devour the wicked. I wonder who that is. Well, I don't wonder. I know exactly to whom that is referring.
That's right.
That is none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming. Point number 12 of what the Muslims believe. We believe that Allah God appeared in the person of W.F. Muhammad, W. Farad Muhammad, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. We believe he appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, July 4, 1930. We believe that his appearance is in answer or fulfillment of that prophecy given to Abram in the Genesis, wherein he told Abram before he was Abraham, "Know of a surety, Abram, that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years, after which I will come, Abram." I'm not sending anybody, but I will come. "Why must I come?" The scripture says, "I think I will go down to see if the cry is altogether what I have heard. I have heard your moaning and your groaning as a result of your wicked and cruel taskmaster." This is in the scripture. I wonder why preachers never preach this. And if they preach it, do they preach it as it relates to the black man and woman and our sojourn here in America and in Europe as a result of the transatlantic slave experience? We cannot possibly believe that the prophets were real prophets, and nor could we believe the efficacy or veracity or truthfulness of their prophesying if they could not see hundreds of millions of black people dying in the Middle Passage and then many more millions being enslaved at the hands of white people. If they couldn't see that, they weren't seeing at all. But the Bible is full of their prophecy and their clear sight as it results or relates to the transatlantic slave experience. And so we believe that Allah God did come and made his appearance known in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. I'll be finished in a moment, Brother Reggie, and then I'm going to call you in. Just wanted to give this scriptural base.
Doing a great job, brother. Take your time, brother student minister.
The scripture continues, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I wonder who those brothers or brethren are. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, meaning keep to your training, meaning all general orders are in effect, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God. And I love that they make this distinction, because there are two, the Christ and the God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And that concludes my reading of the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Now, the time and what must be done. The shadow government. I want to relinquish the floor to our brother and co-panelist, Brother Reginald. The floor is yours, dear brother.
Sir, yes, sir. Before I begin, I would like to welcome our great brother of much wisdom that is usually always an asset to the panel of the discussions of Nation Building Movement. And that brother is none other than Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Student Minister Andre Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam, dear Brother Reginald and Student Minister James Muhammad. It is a pleasure to be living, amongst the living, and able to speak and have anything to say.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Andre. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. I just was calling in to show my support and be of assistance if necessary. I will keep my mic open and in all actuality be a student and also of service if possible, inshallah. So my mic is open.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. You're always welcomed on this show.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, well, let me start off with the proper greeting. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that he appeared to us, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. I also bear witness, and I thank Almighty God, Allah, for choosing one amongst us to lead, teach, and guide us back to the right path, the path of righteousness, the path that will help us gain eternal salvation. And that man that he taught for 3.5 years, a little less, is none other than the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I want to thank both of those men for leaving us a divine warner, a divine guide, a divine friend and comforter in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their three names that I greet you, the listening audience. Once again, the panel, Brother Student Minister Andre, and the host of this show, and Sister Queen Aziza, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. I want to thank you, Brother Student Minister James, for giving us those scriptural references to lead into the show. And while you were going over those scripture references, I was researching power and what exactly power is, and how is this shadow government even able to exist? And it is without a doubt that there has to be some sort of power structure within the power structure that is allowing them to exist. How are they able to keep the secrets of the mother plane in the wheel? And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke of the Illuminati in his in the Time and What Must Be Done, the 57th series. He spoke of the power that the Illuminati has on the government, and that basically is the shadow government. And I was researching, and I came across a definition of power. And it says that power is about being able to realize wishes, to produce the effects you want to produce. It is one of the basic dimensions of all human experience, whether at the interpersonal, group, or societal level. And power is the ability to produce intended effects. It is the capacity of some persons to produce intended or foreseen effects on others. Now, there's a lot more to it because it breaks down the different forms of the power that we are talking about. And when I come back and I'm able to chime in, I will go give the basic axioms about power, because there's four basic axioms about power that this wicked demon, this wicked Satan, is using against us. And although he is using it against us, which we call spiritual wickedness in high places, Almighty God Allah is the all-knowing, is the all-seeing, and is the all-wise, because they plan a plan and Allah plans a plan. And of course, without a doubt, we know that Allah is the best of planners. So I'll be getting back with that. But in the meantime, I want to thank you again, Brother Student Minister James, for allowing me to be on your show as a panelist. And I love you, brother, and I thank you, thank you, thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. I love you too, brother. And I am the grateful one, dear brother, and the honored one by any and all who would take time out of their busy schedules and be with us this evening. I'm very humbled, and I always want to thank our beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad, for extending to us this wonderful forum and this wonderful format that we may express, which is our passion, the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you, dear sister. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And what we'd like to do is to now engage our beloved audience, have them a part of this discussion this evening.
Okay, Brother Student Minister James, I just received a message from Sister Queen Aziza. She had to step off real quick, and okay. The only question that we have in the chat room is, I wonder what are the conditions of those who are or will be taken up with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Jesus in our midst. So if you could expound or answer that question, we can start with the question and answer period. And if anybody else has a question or comment in the listening audience, feel free to inbox me at my Facebook page, Reginald Laron X Wynn, or you can go to the bottom of the website of the Blog Talk Show and post your comments and questions there. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum, Brother James.
Wa alaykum salam. And as Queen Aziza would announce, those of you who are on the phone, please press 1 to be in queue. that your mic can be made live if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question regarding the subject matter. Now, to the question, the condition of those that will be taken up at that time, I'm sure she's referencing those who will be taken up on the wheel. Well, I'll share with you what the scripture says of the condition that that one who preceded us all, those of us who may be blessed, to be taken up. The scripture says that he looked as one who was slain from the foundation of the earth, talking about the Lamb of God, that one who was worthy to take the book out of the hands of that one who was sitting on the throne and break the seal thereof, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. His condition, according to the scripture, was he looked as one that was slain from the foundation of the earth, meaning that he was in pretty bad shape when he was taken up. He's certainly not in that shape now. He's been not only resurrected, not only healed, but perfected. That is my belief. And many of us, if Allah bless us out of his mercy to be taken up, we might not be in too good a condition. We might not be too good in too good a shape. But on that wheel is a magnificent and wonderful healing technology, healing power to make new all things and all people, according to the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, I hope I'm using or answering your question in the proper context when you use the word condition. I don't want to make a mistake, and certainly I don't want to mislead. So I'm wondering if you meant what shape they're going to be in, what physical condition they're going to be in, or were you referencing the condition of their moral character, their personal behavior, their righteousness, or the lack thereof? I just want to be sure.
Okay, Brother Student Minister James, he hasn't followed up with a follow-up question. To your question, I mean answer to your question. So I guess I can, until he does, I'll proceed to the next question, if that's okay with you.
That's wonderful, dear brother. And if you could, Brother Reggie, just call me Brother James.
Yes,
all right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
That's
sir,
so
yes,
much
sir.
Easier.
Sir, yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. And it's hard enough just to be a sincere brother.
I got you. I got you,
but
brother.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. All right. Okay. That just afforded us time for him to follow up. He says, yes, the physical condition as well as the mental condition and spiritual condition. So
yeah.
I think you answered his question perfectly. Okay. So the next question is, in the last lecture series, the minister spoke of the Illuminati. This is the first time that I have ever heard the minister speak of the Illuminati. Could you explain to us, based on what the minister is trying to tell us, who are the Illuminati?
Well, first, they have never been personally identified individually or by a member. That is their person. The word Illuminati, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wrote, I'll define it. Well, I'll read exactly what he said. under the subject Illuminati, Jacobin, and the U.S. presidents who have referred to this shadow government. The minister writes, according to an article by Ross Tittman posted on the website ConsciousLifeNews.com titled Verified Warnings from Former U.S. Presidents About the Invisible Government Running the United States with No Allegiance to the People, he identifies certain presidents who mentioned the shadow government. In Mr. Pittman's article, he states that George Washington, the first president of the United States, wrote that the Illuminati want to separate the people from their government, and he features a letter written by George Washington to Reverend George Washington Snyder, dated October 24, 1798. Now, I'll read the contents that are shared with us, and the minister also shares a brief meaning of what Illuminati references or means.
So,
excuse me?
I don't know what that was, Brother Minister. You can continue.
It was not my intention, as the letter goes, to doubt that. The doctrines of the Illuminati and the principles of Jacobinism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, George Washington writes, no one is more truly satisfied of this fact than I am. The idea that I meant to convey was that I did not believe that the lodges of Freemasons in this country had, as societies, endeavored to propagate the diabolical tenets of the first, or Illuminati, or the pernicious principles of the latter, the Jacobins. They are susceptible of separation. That individuals of them may actually had a separation of the people from their government in view is too evident to be questioned. Here again, these are George Washington's, the first president of the United States, his words. This can be referenced in the George Washington Papers at the Library of Congress, 1741, 17 to 1799, Series 2, Letter Book. Let me read on. George Washington goes on to say that the Illuminati, as a group of highly intelligent, enlightened persons, wanted to separate the people from their government and their government from the people, but he never broke down who these Illuminati were. According to Wikipedia, Vernon Stauffer, who wrote a dissertation entitled New England and the Bavarian Illuminati, published by New York Columbia University Press in 1918, indicates that Bavarian philosopher Adam Weishaupt is credited as the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati, May 1st, 1776. Illuminati, historically, the name refers to an Enlightenment era, a.k.a., or also known as, Age of Enlightenment, 1700 to 1800, a secret society. In subsequent use, Illuminati refers to various organizations claiming or purported to have unsubstantiated links to the original Bavarian Illuminati or similar secret societies, and often alleged to conspire to control world affairs by masterminding events and planting agents in government and corporations to establish a new world order. I'm sure our questioner has heard that phrase before, and gain further political power and influence. Central to some of the most widely known and elaborate conspiracy theorists or theories, the Illuminati have been depicted as lurking in the shadows and pulling the strings and levers of power in dozens of novels, movies, television shows, comics, video games, and music videos. So this is how the word Illuminati is defined. And also, here again, is an identification of the agenda of said Illuminati. So thank you for your question.
All right. Thank you, sir. And
does anyone want to, before we go to the next one, do they want to contribute to the answer, Brother Andre, or yourself, Brother Reginald? Would you like to add on? I don't wish to dominate the I'm not the question answerer.
Well, as a matter of fact.
So, there's only one of him.
Okay,
and so certainly I invite any and all of you, including our listening audience, to address whatever questions are posed.
Okay. Well, as a matter of fact, I was going to ask you this next question because it is widely going around on the internet that, you know, we have so many entertainers that are, quote, unquote, a part of the Illuminati. Like, you know, the entertainment, we'll start with Beyonce, her Super Bowl performance, they said it had so many Illuminati symbols and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Jay-Z's supposed to be an Illuminati, and all of these entertainers, and I'm speaking in particular the black entertainers, are supposed to be a part of the Illuminati. Now, if this is such a secret society, which is based on the purse strings, so to speak, is it possible that they actually can be a part of this Illuminati, in your opinion?
Well, since you said in my opinion, then my opinion is no. They are not members of the Illuminati if they are involved or associated with the Illuminati at all. But they're not members. If anything, again, in my opinion, they are the puppets whose strings are being pulled by the real members who are secret and hidden. No. I mean, right. We look at Jay-Z's money, and that's our brother, and we love him, and our sister Beyonce, that's our sister, and we love her. And, of course, their finances that have been alluded to on TV and by, you know, reporters, entertainment reporters and such, yes, they have a lot of money. But what does that mean to people who can print money anytime they want to? I mean, if you have $300 million, how do you equal up to someone who can just go in a room and press a button and get the machine rolling to print that $300 million in no limit of time?
That's right.
How about those who assign the value to these to these pieces of paper?
Right.
So
right.
They're the real Illuminati, brother. Not the ones who have a lot of money.
Right.
That's
right.
So they have untold amounts. So in my opinion, no.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But
Andre,
I want to say this too, in my opinion, to the credit of our brother Jay-Z as well as our brother Kanye. From what I have read, they have taken some pretty strong stances against those who might be members of the Illuminati in terms of their disagreement as far as Jay-Z is concerned with his treatment when he was traveling abroad. I think it was in Cuba. And, of course, the response to our brother Kanye's very simple and innocuous statement of truth regarding the great influence that Jews wield as compared to the little or no influence black people wield in the business world.
Right. Right.
All right. Brother Andre, you want to expound on that?
Yes, sir. Let me begin the proper way in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Fadhil Muhammad, the great Mahdi, the self-guided one, who saw it fit to raise up one from amongst black people, amongst us who have been through the same things that we have seen and just been dealt with the same way that we have been dealt with, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the one that's in our midst today, the living, walking, breathing, talking Jesus in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And with those three, I'd like to greet the listening audience and those on the panel with the universal greetings of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Sir.
I want to thank Brother James for his answer, which was right on point, 100% on point. I would also like to add a little bit to what he said as far as those who might be in the Illuminati. For some of us, we might not know, there are certain institutions in this country, particularly educational institutions, that are responsible for training and educating certain people, certain individuals in society, over and above the traditional education that we are used to receiving when we go to college or a university. But these particular universities also have what you call secret societies. One is known is the Society of the Skull and Bones. Actually, five or six of the former presidents of the United States were actually a part of this secret society. I won't call any names, but you can do your research. These particular presidents were trained in these particular institutions in this country to have an education that was spoken of in Study Guide 21, that have an education over and above the traditional education given to the masses of the people. This particular education is an education that will allow them to be in an elite class, to be able to rule, dominate, and manipulate the masses of the people, but at the same time not knowing who's in control. And if you read scripture, within the past, most of the prophets, starting with Noah, Abraham, the prophets Hud, Salih, and Moses, and Jesus, dealt with a particular group in the government that was opposed to their teachings. This particular people in these governments were the ones who controlled or manipulated the masses. They were the ones who controlled the currency. They were the ones who controlled the education. They were the ones who controlled the religious doctrine and the common spiritual commonality among the people. These were the ones who controlled the masses of the people through that education or that particular training. So, as Brother James had said earlier, you know, you have a particular people that control the government. It's not necessarily the ones with all of the money. It's also, they are also a part of it, but you also have ones that are in the particular government that control the laws and the rules and the regulations that we see being passed in particular states, you know, it depends, and it don't necessarily depend, but it also covers all aspects of the society. So these particular people have been trained in these traditional schools that we know about. Some of us know these higher education schools. And like I said, I won't mention any particular schools, but you can do your research about these particular schools that have these secret societies, and they are well known. They've been shown on television. One, as a matter of fact, was the Skulls. That's a particular show speaking about this secret society. Do your research. It's an older movie. It's actually three of them, The Skulls 1, 2, and 3. So for those that are listening in the listening audience, you can check out these particular movies that particularly speak about this or those secret societies that train individuals to rule, dominate, and manipulate the masses of the people over and above the traditional education that most of us receive when we go to these universities. Some of us are not. And if you notice, the very student body of these higher institutions are particularly Caucasians. Very seldom that you see the original people in these particular schools. Their GPA, grade point average, oftentimes is not necessarily high enough, and if they are, they don't have the finances to afford that higher education. So it's particularly dominated by Caucasian students, the student body is. So that's what I wanted to add to that, to what Brother James had said earlier. And also study the scriptures, because all of these refer or are a sign of what we are receiving or what we're witnessing right now in this prophetic time, as Brother James had spoke of so profoundly earlier. This is a prophetic time, and this prophetic time was spoken of as a sign of what all of the other prophets went through in their time. But this is one that has been, over and above what the rest of the prophets went through. But they had similar experiences. So that's what I wanted to add. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Andre. I'd like to close that question, if I may, again, reading what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us of the words of John C. Calhoun, who was the Vice President of the United States under the 7th President, Andrew Jackson. He stated in an address delivered before the Senate on May 28, 1836, on the bill to regulate the deposits of the public money. Quote, "I have now stated what, in my opinion, ought to be done with the surplus. Another question still remains, not what shall, but what will be done with the surplus. With a few remarks on this question, I shall conclude what I intended to say." He continues, "There was a time in the better days of the Republic when to show what ought to be done was to ensure the adoption of the measure. Those days have passed away. I fear, however, power has risen up in the government greater than the people themselves, consisting of many and various and powerful interests combined into one mass and held together by the cohesive power of the vast surplus in the banks. This mighty combination will be opposed to any change, and it is to be feared that such is its influence. No measure to which it is opposed can become a law, however expedient and necessary. That the public money will remain in their possession to be disposed of not as the public interest, but as theirs may dictate. The time indeed seems fast approaching when no law can pass, nor any honor can be or will be conferred from the chief magistrate to the tithe waiter without the assent of this powerful and interested combination, which is steadily becoming the government itself. to the utter subversion of the authority of the people. Nay, he continues, I fear we are in the midst of it, and I look with anxiety on the fate of this measure as the test whether we are or not. Now, describing these people, I don't think that Jay-Z, Kanye, or our sister Beyonce really, really fit the descriptions of the of these members that I just read from the words of John C. Calhoun.
Okay.
And I think you would agree.
I agree. And also, just to add this last little snippet to the to that question that I proposed, and it was mainly to kill all the conspiracy theorists who are going around proposing that these entertainers of our brothers and sisters are in that are in these secret societies. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." So this would be an example of one of them high places. It's a spiritual high place, and there's definitely a physical high place. And this Illuminati that we've been expounded on for the last 15 or 20 minutes is one of those high places that has spiritual wickedness and is a part of this shadow government. I just wanted to add that to give some spiritual reference to it, Brother James. Assalamu alaikum. You can proceed.
Alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Reggie.
All right. Okay. Also,
we do have some more questions.
Yes, she's back.
Yes. I've been here for a minute, but Brother Reginald was doing such a wonderful job, I dare not interrupt.
Okay.
All praises be to Allah. Happy. You know, if I don't hear from you, I get panicky.
You and me both.
Well, I'm glad that you all missed me. All praises due to Allah. I was only gone for a second, though. Okay. Well, we have some questions for Cillian, who is... Okay, so Cillian is processing in L.A. Okay. All praises due to Allah, for Cillian. I'm still waiting on my picture with the headpiece. But she said, Brother James, to you, she says, when the time and what must be done is over, what will we be studying?
Well, I would firmly suggest that we study that. Because the distillation of what the minister has given us needs to be, although it's very clear, but it is so pregnant with wisdom. We need to piece each word, phrase, and term apart and continue to study all 58 lectures. I believe next week is the last one. Then tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That will complete his 52-week series or lecture series commitment. But we should study that. And when
okay.
we study everything in that context. That's what I, in my humble opinion, would encourage all of us to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen
okay.
to that.
And we have a question,
from
is that an echo?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, if someone is on speaker or you have your computers on, please cut them off. Okay, this person calls themselves Back to Self. I guess this is more as of a comment. He says the Illuminati control our top entertainers until they rebel. then they kill their character and reputation. Then they kill them, i.e. Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, for example. Okay. Do y'all agree with that? Y'all got a comment for back to self or what?
Well, let me say for myself, in my opinion, you have a point, dear brother or sister, but I would say you have a truthful point, and I'm in agreement, because the history of the enemy is once he uses you, he discards you.
Yes, sir.
So I would agree you have some truth. I cannot speak with any great knowledge or in-depth knowledge on the Illuminati and its actions, behavior, or its intentions. I would only encourage all of us, as I read in the scriptures in the beginning of the show, you know, Almighty God Allah, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 8th verse, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You see, dear family, this is not our fight. This fight is the Christ and the Messiah and their servant. Remember the instructions of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as regards the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He stated, I won't go through the whole statement, but he said, this brother will get you across the ocean or river on his shoulders. On his shoulders, I'm repeating. And when he gets to the other side, he won't say, look at what I have done. He will say, look at what Allah has done, because he is a very humble brother. Our responsibility, dear family, is to be obedient. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, none of us are wise enough to deal with Satan. None of us. Subsequently, if none of us are wise enough to deal with Satan, then we must rely upon others who are wise enough and powerful enough to deal with him. And again, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we wouldn't get to the other side of the river by our own effort. He said we will get there on his shoulders, meaning by his effort. So our obligation, dear sister, is that we obey. And wherever he tells you to go, go. And wherever he tells you to stay from, stay from. When you see him, look at him. When he speaks, listen to him. That's our instruction. And I believe that's the criterion behavior that will get us through.
Beautiful.
Thank you
Beautiful.
For your question.
And if I can just add, I don't know how fitting this is, but I just quickly jumped into Isaiah, the 9th chapter in the 6th verse, when you said he will get us over on his shoulders. This verse in the Bible is symbolic to that exact man that is in our midst today fighting for us. The battle is, like you say, the battle is not ours. It is not ours at all. Ephesians 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That, to me, is a sign of the man that we have in our midst today. So it's not for us to fear Satan,
that's
because
right.
Our only fear should be in Almighty God, Allah. And if we continue to fear him and him alone, we're going to do right and enjoin one another with good and do righteous deeds and enjoin another with truth, then we will survive. We will survive. Most definitely. As-salamu alaykum.
That's right. Wa alaykum salam.
All right. Okay. We have, excuse me, a question from Jason. Jason says, is there going to be a great falling away that will take place in the ranks of the NOI?
Yes, they will. There will. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said some episodes ago that the nation will be weeded out by Master Farad Muhammad, and the weeding out process has already begun. The Nation of Islam is honeycombed with hypocrites and devils. You see? Remember my reading of the strategy of the Illuminati. They're pervasive. They infiltrate. Rest assured, they're in the Nation of Islam. At least their agents are. Allah
right.
says in the Quran, where the hypocrites are concerned, he said, you don't know them. In fact, he said that their talk would be pleasing to you. But he said, you don't know them. I do. So if we don't know them, then we have to rely upon the God and his Christ in the weeding out process of the enemies. But there must be a falling away first. Remember, look at what the scripture says here. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's going to be right there. And then, of course, in the Quran, he says, I will lie in wait for them in thy straight path. That has several meanings, one of which is the quote-unquote houses of God. That's where you find them. You'll find them in the pulpit. You'll find them in the minbar or on the minbar. You'll find them in the synagogue, the temples, the masjids, the mosques. That's where you'll find them. So there has to be a falling away to occur in the nation, in the house. In fact, that has to happen first, because that's where the judgment will take place first.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you for your question.
And if I might add, Brother James, just a statistic that I came across doing my research about four and a half to 5 weeks ago, just to prove your point, how the nation has been infiltrated with the seed of evil and wickedness and hypocriticalness and non-believers. Howard University is the number one university in the United States, that includes white universities as well, for the recruitment of CIA agents and FBI agents. So that means that, come on, you know, the devil Satan ain't just in white skin anymore. Like
That's
the minister
right.
said in one of his lectures, it was easy for us in the 60s and before to recognize the enemy, because he was an open enemy then. But due to the infiltration, the camouflaging of those who profess to still follow the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through and to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, those characters or those ones are alive and well in the nation, and their job is to divide the nation so that some form of Satan and his agents can come in and cause a great dissension. So that's
right.
Why, you like you said earlier, the caller said, what are you going to talk about after the 58th lecture of tomorrow? Well, those lectures are our weapons. Those are our weapons of mass destruction. That's truth times truth. So we have to keep revisiting truth and keep talking and studying, because it's so much science in just one sentence that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, and we need to keep revisiting, even if we have to go back to the older lectures and see how he has prophetically predicted this day and time that we live in now. And it's so encouraging, and it will quicken your spirit. It will help
That's
you
right.
believe and help you not want to be around those of like minds. I say, let's stop wasting our spiritual energy on non-believers and hypocrites. Let's not try to keep converting them to the truth. Either they take it or they leave it alone. It is not us to judge them, but it is our duty to continue to be saviors, saviors of the lost found, saviors of those
That's
who are
right.
the least of these, saviors of those who want to know and yearn for the truth. That is our job. That is what our passion should be centered around. So
That's
we're not going to worry about that, because the Most Honorable Elijah told in one of his lectures, the hypocrites, he told the captains that they are responsible for fighting and locating the hypocrites within each temple and mosque. Because when they act, they are cancerous to the entire nation. So I just wanted to add that. And you are exactly right, Brother Minister. It is going to be, we are in the weed out process. We are definitely in the weed out process, because it says in the Bible, two will be grinding at the mill. He'll
Come
take
on,
one
man.
And he'll leave one. So we are grinding. We are soldiering in this mission for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We're grinding. So those non-believers and hypocrites, they're going to remain. They're not going to be victorious, because we will be victorious. Because
yes,
when you
sir.
Submit to Islam and its righteousness and seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, success is not just a thing that may be attained. Success is guaranteed. As-salamu
alaykum. That's right. Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, brother.
As-salamu alaykum. I'd like to add something, if that's okay.
Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. I wanted to make a point also that, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been speaking about the wheel. And, you know, that has caused a falling away for some of the ones in the nation. I wanted to make that point as well, because a lot of the believers have fallen away from him when he started to reveal the information about the wheel and himself being taken up on the wheel in a vision. So I also wanted to add that as well. That has caused some of the believers to fall away as well within the nation. That's all I wanted to add. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Okay.
Okay,
let's keep rolling.
Okay, well, evidently we have someone who may not be in the nation, because Marlo says, why not Valentine's Day? NOI don't celebrate love.
Who wants to come to the history? Brother Minister,
if I may respond.
Please, brother. Yes, sir.
Now, with all due respect, first of all, Valentine's Day is not about love at all.
Right, right,
it
right.
It is a commemoration
right.
and celebration of this so-called Saint Valentine, who was a pervert.
Right, right.
That had nothing to do with love at all. Our work of resurrection, when we're out there on the highways and the byways, if you want to talk about love, I'll just relate to you what Brother Tracy and I have experienced today. Brother Tracy is my soldiering partner, a young brother, very beautiful young brother. But just to relate to you what we have to encounter, I approach this car and offered the Final Call newspaper, and I offered them to everyone. Now, this person told me if I don't move away from his car, he's going to blow my effing brains out. Now, I wasn't necessarily moved because this has happened to me so many times. And most times, in fact, all the times that it has happened, they would brandish the gun so that I would see it. This person didn't. So in my mind, I said, you know, he ain't real, but I didn't try it. I just smiled at him and walked away and said, thank you. We've had, and I'll just relate to you some other experiences that I've had. I've had, and these are from my people, I've had someone throw a ham sandwich on me, literally. I've been spit upon, having liquid thrown on me. Yet, I'm still out there. For 25 years here in the Tampa Bay area and in the state of Florida, and for 42 years overall in the Nation of Islam. Now, this is nothing unique. I'm not trying to get anyone to sympathize with me or pat me on the shoulder, because this is nothing unique. This is what the soldiers suffer. Why are we still out there? That's real love. Not just on Valentine's Day, but every day, Monday through Sunday, every day.
That's right.
That's real love. Not this perverted, false, and hypocritical thing where the business people make money on flowers and trivial shows, or maybe great expressions of love that they have for their mates, their husbands, or their wives. No, that's not real love. Real love is when somebody gives you a cursing, you give back a blessing. That's
right.
Real love.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
I'll stop there.
Okay.
But I thank you for your question. But we celebrate love every day, every minute. Every hour, every second, we celebrate love.
That's right.
And not just love for our people as such, but by virtue of the fact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is still extending an open arm and hand to the enemy and giving them a chance at this late hour for redemption. That's love. Huh.
That's love. That's love. And if I might add, I just, you know, so the caller can be a little bit more at ease, it's a lot of pagan holidays that we don't participate in, starting with Christmas. Just because we don't celebrate Christmas, does that mean we love Jesus any less? Does that mean that we love Jesus only on around the holiday time? No, we love Jesus every day, because as Brother James said, he is hated without a cause on the streets, because he's following the examples of Jesus and of our Savior. He is spit upon. He is spoken evil of. But what does he have that the average man or the average woman doesn't have? He has unconditional love for his people, as with all of us who claim or who are walking in the steps of saviors, because that's what saviors do. Jesus had unconditional love for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had unconditional love for even the Sanhedrin woman that he told he didn't come to teach. He had love for the woman that was brought before him that was accused of being an adulterer. See, this is unconditional love. We have love for our mothers every day. Don't just set aside a particular day for us to love our mothers. Don't just set aside a particular day for us to reflect on Jesus during the months of April called Easter. Don't just set aside a day for us to pledge allegiance to the United States by celebrating the 4th of July. No, that is not what we do. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. So we love our dates, the woman that we're courting. We love the woman that we're married to and the husband's vice versa. And that is unconditional, and that's 365 days, 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 47 seconds out of a year. So we are not limited to one particular day. This is an ongoing process, and we will not stop. We will not stop, no matter what you say, what you do, what you call us. We will not stop. And the number one reason we won't stop is our love for Allah and his children. And we are, and even you who spit and do degrading things to us, we still love you regardless, because just like Jesus said, according to the story, when he was on the cross, what did he ask the Father to do to those people that were mocking him, spitting on him, stabbing on him, cursing him out, blaspheming against him in the name of God? He asked the Father to forgive them. Why?
That's right.
Because they know not what they do. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, brother.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Okay, we're going to take a phone call question. And let me remind all the new callers who are calling in, we are at our question and answer session. So if you have a question for anyone on the panel, please press 1 on your dial pad and we'll take your call. So area code 619, your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Michelle.
Thank you. Yes, I have a question. It's about this word, hypocrite, or this person called hypocrite, because I'm just a little confused now, after hearing some of the things tonight. But I had read that the messenger said, about the hypocrite or the agent to lead them along. Because if you run them away, then you'll never have the chance to turn them. And I'm assuming he means into believers. So I've heard lately, these past few months, that word hypocrite being thrown around and being, people being called hypocrites by other believers. So I remember that the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I believe it was in the Strict of Raw book, said that he didn't know who the hypocrite was. And so if he was to call someone a hypocrite, and I'm paraphrasing here some, that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Prophet Muhammad would immediately deal with them. So I guess my question is that with that being said, with the minister saying that even he doesn't know who the hypocrite is, then why do we at times, not all of us, but, some of us, because we're getting very popular now, to throw that word hypocrite around? I guess that's how I want to ask it. Because to me, that's a form of judgment. And also, if the minister doesn't know, how do we think that we know? Because I think sometimes dumb devils or immature believers get the title of hypocrite.
Ooh, I can answer that. But I'll yield to somebody else first if you want to. But I can answer that.
Well, let me, yes, sir, if I may, first of all, my dear sister, thank you for your question and your expressed concern. But we certainly don't advocate the pointing out of any individual, whether in the mosque or outside, as a hypocrite. We certainly don't advocate that. We don't advocate it, at least in the mosque or study groups that I have attended, for that reason that you've stated. We don't know them. But we do talk about the state of hypocrisy, particularly when the performance of the mosque or study group
goes down. Now, I don't know of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ever saying, leave the hypocrites alone, because we will, if we drive them or chase them away, we won't have a chance to redeem them. No, I've never, well, he may have, because I certainly have not been privy to all of what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, but I've never heard him say that or allude to that. I've never heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say that or allude to that. I've heard him say the complete opposite, that we should work to drive the hypocrites out of the mob through our work. Drive them out through our performance. And my dear sister, I don't know what mosque or study group that you attend. However, the ones that I have attended, we don't necessarily hear those words, that word hypocrite, thrown out or thrown around or used for the very reasons that you stated. We, and what the Quran states, we don't know them. We don't know them. We can only work hard. But I've never heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, leave them alone, because if we cause them to depart from us, we will not have the opportunity to redeem them. No, I've never heard that before.
Can I say something, Brother James?
By all means, go ahead.
You know, and I know where Sister Michelle is coming from, and I know it has been more prevalent lately. And it really started when we called ourselves defending the minister. And that word became so popular that you would swear it was the newest word in the dictionary. And just like with anything else, it is thrown around and misused and loosely, available upon our lips. Let me say this. All of us, and I do mean all of us, at one point or another, are hypocrites. Every time we fall short, we are hypocrites. If you want to go by the definition of it. But in the term in which hypocrite is used, someone who believes other than or acts other than what they say that they believe, then that is not for us to judge, because faith and understanding and wisdom comes in degrees. And back in the days of the messenger, not many, but there were quite a few across the country who were plants in the mosque to, of course, spy and report back. And a few of them actually refused or left their duties with these governing agencies because they actually started to believe and wanted to support and defend the messenger. So Allah blesses whom he pleases, but, you know, I recently told a group of people that we are so in error when we start to call people hypocrites because they differ in opinion, because it just shows a lack of knowledge. And if we would take the time that we use calling one a hypocrite and teach, then we would be of more service to Allah than to say we're going to fight with our sisters and brothers who believe other than we do, because we're going to hurl the truth at falsehood and knock its brains out. And we use that cliche also very loosely, but you have to teach from a place of love and desire of unity. And when you're teaching only to be combative, then you're not helping our ministry, and you're not helping our nation, and you're far off the mark of the purpose of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. So it's my prayer that that is not going on still. I know we, a lot of us are militants, we're soldiers, we're going to defend our minister with our life, but we have to be very, very careful about what we're saying and who we are saying it to. Because you have a lot of groups out here that have been formed and set up by government agencies to come out against the minister and against the nation. And so we always have to be on our post. And when we know that our people are being used, just like someone just mentioned how the Illuminati uses our people, then we still have to come to our people with love and truth. And no agency can form their weapons and they will be successful against us. But we have to be found being obedient to the teachings ourselves and understand the protocol of how we use language and who we identify as the hypocrites. Because when we start calling one another hypocrites, it's very, very dangerous for all of us. So I just wanted to add that, Brother James. Thank you.
Thank you, Queen.
Brother James, I have a clip from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's about a minute long. Can I just play it real quick? And he's talking specifically about the hypocrites. Can I do that on your show, sir? Just play it real
quick. Go right ahead. You going to ask me, can you play the words of the Christ?
Okay.
Please,
this is, man. This is what Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about hypocrites. Here it is.
Now, hypocrites. I want you to remember this prayer. Hypocrites. You must not allow no hypocrites hang around in your temple. When you see a hypocrite or one getting weak, let him go. If you don't have nobody left but you and the minister, Brother Captain, bring that weak one before the minister and tell the minister, listen, tell the minister, here I have a name of one here that don't cooperate. He don't look like this, that he's with us. And what to say about it? And minister, tell the captain, put him out. I'll bring him before you and let you listen to him. And learn to understand a hypocrite. Learn to know them. Know them by their action, their talk. Study them. Because they'll eat you up now. You'll have a house full before you know it. When you know anything, well, they'll be throwing you out too. So don't tolerate with a hypocrite. Watch for that. The captain is the eye for that. Watch to see if there's any hypocrisy brewing in the temple. You must do that. And any one of you think that you have anything to say about that as far as the hypocrites is concerned, you can stand.
Okay, that's it. I hope y'all heard it. Okay.
We didn't really hear
Brother Reginald. Can you tell us what he said at the very end?
Yeah, he was basically saying that it was up to, he left that the position of the captain to put all hypocrites out of the mosque, bring them to the minister, and once you bring them to the minister, then it's up to y'all to make sure he gets put out of the mosque immediately, because before you know, he said even if it's nobody left but just the minister and one person, he say put all hypocrites out. He said, because they will mess you up. They will eat you up is what he said. He said they will eat you up. So basically he's saying it's like a cancer. So that's just to answer that question, you know, to the sister that made that remark or comment as to she doesn't think that that's right. Well, according to the Honorable Minister, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we are not to tolerate hypocrites. And not saying that we are to judge, but he also said, you study them and watch them because their actions will let you know if they're a hypocrite. So when we're on Facebook all day and we're speaking positive spiritual things and energy and commending the works of the most of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and then all of a sudden we see somebody come on one of our posts and totally defame the minister's character. They slander his name, and they claim to be FOI, and they claim to be a part of the nation and say that the minister is no longer the leader of the nation. Well, you know, that's an action that deems, in my eyes, as someone who's being hypocritical. Because, first of all, why would you go public? You know, so the whole world can see your disdain for the minister. Keep it private. Be a true brother. Be a true believer. Don't make it so public. You know, if you have a problem with the minister, because he's our commander in chief, and he's in a process called the art of war. Business is the art of war, and we may not understand the strategies of the commander in chief, but we are supposed to follow his commandments because we were given that, as Brother James said earlier. We were told to, wherever we see him, watch him. Wherever he goes, go. Wherever he tells us to stay away from, stay away from, because he is going to get us safely across. And when he does, he won't say, "Well, look what I did." He will say, "What? Look what Allah did." So when they come on, and we as defenders, the Twitter army, the defenders of Farrakhan, of all of them, when we have to deal with that on a daily basis, and we're not even trying to defend the truth because either they take it or they let it alone, but when they claim to still be FOI and talk against the minister, when they claim to be still in the nation but denouncing the minister as the commanding chief, when those things are said, that is a definition by action alone of being a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. We don't have to they're hypocrites, but by their actions alone, they're showing hypocritical traits and characteristics, and that's what I say, and that's where I got my understanding of what we should do with hypocrites, and that was based straight from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you.
Also, I'd like you to add just a little something before you go to the next question for the sister. And it's just, you know, this is really brief because it's in the restrictive laws. I think it's the 10th or the 11th one that specifically says that do not deal with the hypocrites or those outside of the mosque. So, you know, that particular restrictive law pretty much says it and that's the only thing I can say about coming behind the Christ. But that's all I wanted to add to that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Andre. And
can I say something, please?
Okay, dear sister, I don't wish to be disrespectful. There was someone who wants to make a comment. They text me and asked me if they could make a comment. A brother whom I have a great deal of respect for, and of course, if you don't mind, please stay on the line. I don't want this show to be consumed with this talk on the hypocrite. Definitely not. But I want to respect those who have something to say. So, sister, if you would be patient, I want to honor this brother's request. And is that all right with you, dear sister?
Oh, yes, sir.
And, Sister Aziza, you know this brother, and so do I. We've been chasing this brother to be on the show. Brother Oscar texted me and said he had a comment, and I really, 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 really want to hear our brother's comment. Brother Oscar, let me just...
Hey, yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, give you the proper intro. let me give you the proper intro, brother, if you don't mind. This is one of our astute scholars of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's a student, and he's a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he's the student study group coordinator in the city of Winter Haven, Florida. Our brother, our student in the ministry, our brother Oscar Muhammad. Let's hear from our brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother Oscar.
Alaikum salam, brother. I trust that you and your family are well. The entire family, the Blog Talk Radio, an entire body of Christ. I don't remember which brother made the comment, but he talked about the restrictive law. And this being one of our restrictive laws, that is actually restrictive law number 13, which says, do not deal with the hypocrite or show sympathy towards them.
Right.
And the minister clears those four words, deal, hypocrite, show, and sympathy. Deal, be occupied or concerned to behave in a specified way toward another or others, have transactions, to take action with respect to someone or something, do business or trade. And then hypocrite, a person given to hypocrisy, a person who pretends to be what he or she is not. Show, to manifest an emotion or condition, for example, reveal. And sympathy, a feeling or an expression of pity or sorrow for the distress of another, compassion or commiseration, a feeling of loyalty, allegiance. Deal with the hypocrite or show sympathy towards them. Then the minister says, once a person rebels against Allah and becomes an enemy to Allah and his messenger, whether they are in your family or not, you can't show sympathy toward them. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would put people out while we are putting people out. If he was putting your friend out for fornication or adultery, and you are so hurt, you're in there crying, and then he would say, quote, well, you sympathize. 1 to 5 years for you too. The messenger did not play. Do you know what? At that time, we had a nation. We had a brotherhood that we could rely on because we were our brother's keeper, and we were living a life where we knew, quote unquote, this is our brother. This is our sister. We have to be like that again in this hour to avoid the chastisement of Allah. And I'd just like to close this comment with a hadith from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, when he said, the signs of a hypocrite are these. One, whenever he speaks, he tells a lie. Two, whenever he promises, he always breaks it, his promise. Three, if you trust him, he proves to be dishonest. If you keep something as trust with him, he will not return it. Four, and in another narration of the prophet, whenever he quarrels, he behaves in a very imprudent, evil, insulting manner. And five, whenever he makes a covenant, he proves himself treacherous. Do not deal with the hypocrite. I show sympathy towards them. Thank you for listening. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum salam. And brother Oscar, listen, I need to talk with you after the show, dear brother, as regarding the ministry class tomorrow morning. Can
yes,
I call
sir.
You? I know it'll be late, but can I call you, dear brother?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Alaykum
and
salam.
To our sister, and I want to make an appeal to our sister, not, you know, to cut you off or anything like that, but if you could be brief, dear sister, in your response, and thank you, Brother Oscar, but I wanted to also allow my sister to say what it was on her heart to say. So you have the floor, dear sister.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. And I'll be very brief. No, I asked a question just so I could get clarity because, you know, I'm new in the nation. And, you know,
yes,
people tell you the messenger said this and the messenger said that. I haven't, you know, read, listened to all the lectures by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, so that's why I asked for clarity, you know, especially on that word and how they should be dealt with. But the thing that I really wanted to say was is that I never said that I disagree with what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. I just wanted to clear that up because we're taught to clear it up in the form that it was said in. So I would never contradict what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to say about anything at all, nor the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that's all I wanted to say.
And thank you, dear sister. And I appreciate your need to clear things up. But in reality, at least for myself, I didn't get any indication of that from you at all.
Sir.
Not at all. So thank you. So let's move on, if you all don't mind. Is there anyone else?
Okay, and Brother Oscar, are you going to stay with us?
Yes, ma'am, until you close out.
All praise be to Allah.
All praise be to Allah. Okay, we have one more question right now, but I want to remind the listening audience, because we do have some new callers that called in, press one on your dial pad if you have a question or comment for anyone on the panel, and take advantage of the moment that Brother Oscar is here, because he's one of our pioneers,
right.
And so he has a lot of history and wisdom to share with us. And there's a question from Brother Reginald, and, of course, not the one that's on the panel. There's another Reginald who says, should we discuss the hypocritical situation in the nation in public? He's asking a question.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate Brother Reginald. Your inclination towards discretion, but this is something that is very, very public. The minister has made it very, very public in his expression of the weeding out process recently in some episodes ago in the Nation of Islam. Look, the Nation of Islam, while the teachings are perfect, the message is perfect, the God is perfect, His Christ is perfect, but we are striving for perfection. And as such, all of what you see in the world, well, you're going to see some of that in every aspect in the nation. That doesn't make us bad, and it doesn't make us necessarily hypocritical. But if we're going to be truthful, it's there. Because we come out of the world into the nation, and we are striving to be right. But in our striving, yes, we bring with us much of what we were in the world. But we're striving to be right. So it's no secret that the nation is honeycombed with hypocrites. Every black organization whose agenda it is
the upliftment of our people. Every organization, whether it's religious, whether it's social, whether it's nationalist, whether it's Islamic, Christian, whether it's civic, every organization has agents and hypocrites in it because the enemy does not want the black man and woman to rise up out of this condition that 400 years of slavery has rendered us in. So it's not just the nation.
That's right.
And it's really not a secret.
That's right.
So we're not diminishing anything of the nation, the value of it, the importance of those who hear the truth to come and become members of the nation. We're not diminishing that, nor are we trying to turn people away by repeating what has already been stated by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In fact, about it, they're our enemies listening right now. Trust and believe. So,
teach on that. Say that, Brother Minister.
We want to let them know that we know that you're there. And we want you to know that we are going to drive you with the help of Allah out of the mosque and study group. And we want you to know that while we don't know specifically your person, we know your behavior. Look at what Allah says in the Quran. And this is Allah's word on the hypocrite. And this is found in the 9th surah or chapter, the 7th section, beginning with the 43rd verse. And I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah, pardon thee. Why didst thou permit them until those who spoke the truth had become manifest to thee, and thou hadst known the liars? Those who believe in Allah and the last day ask not leave of thee to stay away from striving hard with their wealth and their person, and Allah is knower of those who keep their duty. They alone ask leave of thee who believe not in Allah and the last day, and their hearts are in doubt, so in their doubt they waver. And if they had intended to go forth, they would certainly have provided equipment for it, but Allah did not like their going forth, so he withheld them, and it was said, hold back with those who hold back. Again, in the same surah, the 12th section entitled The Hypocrites, the 90th verse, it reads, and the defaulters from among the dwellers of the desert came that permission might be given to them, and they sat at home who lied to Allah and his messenger. A painful chastisement will afflict those of them who disbelieve. No blame lies on the weak, nor on the sick, nor on those who can't find nothing to spend. If they are sincere to Allah and his messenger, there is no blame against the doers of good. And Allah is forgiving, merciful. Nor on those to whom when they came to thee that thou shouldest mount them, thou didst say, I cannot find that on which to mount you. They went back while their eyes overflowed with tears of grief that they could not find aught to spend. The way to blame is only against those who ask permission of thee. Though they are rich, they have chosen to be with those who remain behind, and Allah has sealed their hearts so they know not. They will make excuses to you when you return to them. Say, make no excuse. We shall not believe you. Allah has informed us of the matters relating to you, and Allah and his messenger will now see your actions. Then you will be brought back to the knower of the unseen and the seeing. then he will inform you of what you did. So it's actions as they are compared to your speech and my speech. It's the actions, the actual behavior, or the actual practice. In other words, walking the walk of the talk that we talk. This is the distinction that Allah has given to identify the hypocrites in the Quran. And thank you, Brother Oscar, and thank you all for your comments on that subject. But while there are a few remaining minutes to the show, I want to get off of that and let's go on with whatever little time we have remaining. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, we have a question on the phone, and we have a couple in chat room, so let me go to the phone first. Area code 513, your mic is now live.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam, ma'am.
I was wondering, was there a Blog Talk radio program last night?
It was supposed to be one last night, but when I set up the show, I don't know what happened. For some reason it didn't play. But if you want to hear that show, you can find me, Queen Aziza Maria Muhammad, on Facebook, and that link is on my page. Go back to Thursday, I think, last Thursday. Well, it should be one on there, or it's one in the events. But any link to that show is a live link, and you can play it.
Right. This is Sister Barbara. And I was wondering about
yes.
that because I was waiting to hear something from you, Sister Aziza. I wanted to talk to you. I was trying to get in touch with you.
Oh, sis, well, you have to call me. I'll inbox you my phone number.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm still enjoying the program tonight. I really am.
Thank you, Sister Barbara. Thank you for always supporting, always being there, Queen.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, I'm still, you know, I like what I'm hearing, you know, and, you know, with all the things that are going on, you know, we just, you know, really need to listen, you know, to one another and, like the minister said, you know, get the information out there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. And I know y'all... I'm just so happy to talk to Sister Barbara because Sister Barbara's been listening for a long time, but she was awfully quiet. So to hear her voice is a treat. So thank you, Sister Barbara, for blessing us with the beautiful music of your voice, dear sister. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, all praise is due to Allah. And I just, like I always say, I really do enjoy you all, and I really like what I'm hearing. And I'll continue to listen, and I'll hear from you soon, Sister Aziza.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll leave you my number in a minute, and you can call me if you like.
Yes, ma'am. All right. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay.
Wa alaykum.
Okay, we have a couple of questions for Brother Oscar. And Brother Oscar, this is from, of course, my loving nephew, Eugenio. He says, can Brother Oscar express some of his struggles with meeting or educating or the educating of our people when he began in the nation? And then part two of that question is, what were some of the things that brought a smile, a laughter from the messenger? So if you need me to repeat that, Brother Oscar, I will.
Yeah, to repeat the first part, please.
It says, can Brother Oscar express some of his struggles with meeting or educating our people when you began in the nation?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, when I began in the nation,
already had a mind for black consciousness. I was raised in the church just like 99% of high people, half the time in the Baptist church, another half the time in the African Methodist Episcopal church. Never being quite satisfied, so I went out in search to see if I could find some answers that neither those institutions could give me. So I spent some time studying with the Seventh-day Adventists, spent some more time studying with the Jehovah's Witness. Then I finally got invited to Nation of Islam meeting for the first time. And immediately everything begins to start registering with me and falling in place with respect to our history, what was being taught with respect to the history of the black man and how the Caucasian people came into existence. The one point that had me hung up, where it took me some time before I actually accepted, I would always question how is it that we, the original people, but the mother of the Supreme Being is a Caucasian woman. I had a real problem with that prior to my acceptance in writing my letter. And what helped me with that is what I spent a lot of time with trying to help those who come in under my charge, because it deals with the way we were taught coming up in the church. Honorable Elijah Muhammad used language, spookism and mystery. And although we don't like to focus on that, it's really a part of our entire community. We don't focus on reality. We don't focus on the universal order of creation. We don't focus on mathematics and nature. And as the scripture teaches, that he would come in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh.
Come on.
Well, it takes a little while to get the spookism out of that and apply reality. And once you start applying genetics, biology, heredity, science, a dominant gene and a recessive gene, then the spittle begins to wipe away your eyes and clean them up. We can see the reality of God. And this is what Islam has taught by the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad, teaches that no other religion teaches. They want to take science, mathematics, physics, chemistry, astronomy, empirical knowledge, and stack it over on a shelf, and then pick up a Bible or pick up a Quran and want to set it off on an island independent of creation, when Allah teaches us that he is the truth and he created the heavens and the earth in truth. So you can't throw truth out the window and have the right religion.
That's
this
true.
Is why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that Islam has no birth record. It has no beginning nor ending. It's mathematics, and mathematics is Islam. So once I was able to latch on to that concept and hang on, after that, I was free. This bird was ready to fly. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
And there was a part two to that, Brother Oscar. He said, what were some of the things that came from the messenger that may bring a smile or laughter to you?
The big thing is, believe it or not, accept your own and be yourself. That's what's so difficult, because subconsciously, 90% of us, 98% of us, we're always trying to pattern ourselves after somebody else and do something like somebody else did it, rather than conduct an internal self-examination, self-analysis, self-correction, intense study of self, look in the mirror and ask ourselves, why was I brought into existence? What is my aim and purpose for being on this earth?
Come on, brother.
What is it that I have to accomplish? I was brought into existence for a reason. The Most Honored Elijah Muhammad teaches that there is a particular attribute of Allah that each and every one of us have the capacity to manifest to this perfected state that no other human being can master, just like no two human beings have the same footprint or the same fingerprint. Each human being is unique, incomparable. This is why when we really understand Bible and Quran, we understand that it can't be talking about anything but a human being, really,
mm-hmm.
once you really understand. And once I came into this kind of understanding, this kind of comprehension, and even until today, every time I think on that, although a long way from its fulfillment and manifestation, it brings joy to my thinking, joy to my idea, joy to my concept, to think that if I stay the course, if I can endure until the end, at some point, I have the capacity to manifest something that nobody can manifest but me. Then I reflect on the statement he made, because in following the Caucasian, we think 3 score and 10 is some big accomplishment in terms of longevity. We think we've had a great full life, you know, he made it 3 score and 10, he made it to 70.
Mm.
And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad comes right behind that and says, that's just a baby.
That's right.
He ain't even learned how to live yet. He says
it
takes 75 years just to learn how to live. Well, I say, wow, listen to this.
Come on.
Then he tells us in How to Eat to Live that we have the capacity to live as long as we want to live. You just got to think right, keep right, and live right. Those are the 3 requisites for longevity. And we can, there's nothing in terms of illness or disease that we have that cannot be reversed. And this is what the scripture is talking about when it says all things are possible with God. but it ain't talking about no spook God, talking about a real God whose brain is infinite, possess a power over all things, witness over all things, and can do all things. And we've got to endure until the end until we can realize the reality of that. So that brings nothing but smiles and joy to my life, just thinking on that. And especially when Elijah Muhammad says the hereafter is worth praying for. So we should praying to see, be in, and deal with the hereafter, because our average lifespan, although we have the capacity to live 1,000 years, he says our average lifespan should be 500 years. So we shouldn't even be occasion that taught us to think about longevity at all, no matter what ailment or disease we might have.
Come on, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
What a beautiful, beautiful comment. Mm. Wow. All praises to Allah. Thank you for that. Woo. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Brother James, we ran over time, so anything you want to tell us before we close?
Yes, ma'am. And thank you again, Brother Oscar and Brother Reginald, and, of course, our Brother Andre. Thank you, dear brothers, for your participating and responding to the question. All praise is due to Allah. And, of course, thank our listening audience. As we move towards the Savior's Day Celebration Week, I want to thank all of you who have responded to our appeal to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, particularly with the Savior's Day gift. I want to reiterate that appeal. Unfortunately, I have a new phone, and I had the address to which I was asking you to send your donations in that I didn't realize that the text would not change over with the new programming of the phone, like contacts and other information. So I lost all my text, in other words, and unfortunately I had the address there. But what I want to do is to ask all of you to continue and accelerate in your support of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, particularly with your Savior's Day gift contribution. Go on www.noi.org and donate. I believe there is an area specifically for the Savior's Day gift, and I want to thank all of you who are working, striving, and sacrificing to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, but particularly in this great sacrifice of your Savior's Day gift to him. I want to encourage you to continue and to accelerate in our effort to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and to show our gratitude for the great gift in him that Allah has blessed us through him in this critical hour at which we have arrived. Send them to the Nation of Islam in Chicago. Just send your Savior's Day gift. And for those of you who would like to, in the memo section of your check or money order, just put the numbers 3059. Once again, that's 3059. But thank you all for all that you have done and will continue to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay. any last words from you? We lost Brother Andre. So any last words from you, Brother Reginald?
Yes. I want to also add, please remember, family, to support Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want. Donate your nickels, dimes, pennies, dollars, anything you can, because we are seriously, seriously, and we know the need, we must separate. That's another weed out process. We must separate. So please go to economicblueprint.org. That is, once again, economicblueprint.org, and make your donations there. No donation is too small and no donation is too big, and we are going to use it to buy farmland, create in our own industries for making clothes, toilet paper, anything you can think of that we buy from the Caucasian who capitalize on our $1 trillion spending a year habits. We need to do for self. Once again, that's like right. The brother said, the elder brother, he said, accept your own and be yourself. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for allowing me to be on the show once again, Brother James, and thank you for inviting me to as well, Sister Queen Aziza. Thank you, beloved.
It's my great honor and privilege, Brother Reginald, always.
Yes, sir. All praises to Allah. And, you know, you're part of the family, Reginald, so you got an open invitation. Always. Mm-hmm. And Brother Oscar, we thank you, sir, for once again taking time out of your schedule to join us. And you know, right. Whether anyone else tells you or not, you are such a precious gift to us, because
that's right.
Very few of us that are around who were around during the time of the messenger. I came in on that tail end part. You know, he departed when I was 9 years of age. But it's just such a blessing and a treat to have you still here with us. And so thank you for, you know, sharing your experiences, your wisdom. And I can tell just by listening to you, it's something that you love to do. So I pray that you will continue to join us when you are available, because you are such a gift to us. And, of course, we want to utilize our elders, and I'm not saying elder as far as age, but elders as far as experience in Islam, because we have to teach our babies, and they need to hear our history and how
that's
it
right.
was. From us, because no one else is going to teach our history. It's our duty. So thank you so much once again, Brother Oscar. It was such a pleasure to have you on tonight. Okay, and let me give the line up. Okay,
ma'am, thank you. I did want to make one final comment, though.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. I know he doesn't want to hear this, because he has given instructions as to how he would like to be addressed, because I heard him telling the brother, if you would, brother, just refer to me as Brother James. And I know that comes from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he's the one who told us we must first be brother. However, there's nothing wrong with paying honorific tribute to those who have honorific responsibility. And Brother Student Minister James is the resident evangelist of the entire seventh region. And I just want everybody to know that and understand that, whether you know it or not. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes.
Well, alaykum salam, sir.
Yes.
You heard that, Brother
concur.
James? Student Minister Brother James?
Yes, thank you. All praises be to Allah. Yes.
And he's being modest, and of course he's being humble, as always. But let me tell you something about this brother.
Here we go.
It's one thing to be a student minister. And a lot of times, being in the student ministry, it grows on you. But if I tell you, if I could identify anyone who was born to teach, it would be you, Brother James.
Because I have never seen a man
who was so dissatisfied with himself, because he just couldn't teach that day or didn't have a platform to speak from that day. And there's this rise of dissatisfaction because he loves it. He doesn't have sermonitis and love to talk. No, he loves these teachings. And I have never, outside of the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, met a man who loves these teachings to where he could teach every day. And I've seen him come on the air, I mean, dog tired. And he was still teaching. That energy and that spirit would rise. And I was like, I thought he was tired.
but it's just
a part of his fiber, a part of his every being. And I tell him all the time, I tell you, Brother James, you are indeed a gift to us because you have some longevity in this. You've been in 40 years plus, and that's not anything to sneeze at because you know the history of our nation. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are determined and when you put Allah first, it makes the journey so much easier. And so I thank you and Brother Oscar for your years of dedication and loyalty and just the desire to teach us all. So thank you. I love you. And we
love you
appreciate
too, Queen.
You. And I think I can
speak for
everybody.
But, you know, I have
everybody.
To say this, sister. Yes, sometimes I am very tired and exhausted, especially of recent days since I've been soldiering hard,
yes,
trying to be an example. But listen, I look at the minister, and every time I think about a postponement or, you know, perhaps calling you and ask you could you do a replay today or have a substitute host for the show, every time I think about that, which is very rare, but honestly, sometimes I do. I think about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and then I say to myself, how in the world could I ever justify saying I'm too tired to be on my post and to execute the responsibilities thereof? I said, how could I? So,
now,
inshallah,
Brother Minister,
Allah will bless me to die on my post.
That's right. Brother Minister James,
and permission.
You just, again, exemplified love. For the person who asked about Valentine's Day, now that's love. That's love.
All praises to Allah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we have two great, beautiful gifts with us tonight. So thank you all for staying overtime. Thank you all for listening. Join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central for Young, Gifted, and Black. We have something special for you. And join us on Sunday for Brother Reginald's show. And Brother Reginald, we're going to be talking about the educational paradigm, right?
That is correct, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
All right. And then Monday at 8 p.m. Central, join us with Brother Kareem, who disappeared on us tonight. Now I got to go put an APB out on my brother.
That's
find
right.
Out where
Make
he
sure
is.
You do.
Yes, sir. And he will be back with Conscious Black Nation. He had a title so long last week, I said, I don't even want to know the name. So we'll have to find out. And, of course, let me give you a brief update on Brother Jahar. All praise to Allah. Our
yes,
dear
ma'am.
Brother, who those of you who know, suffered a major, major brain aneurysm on January the 13th, proudly, a couple of days ago, took 70 steps on his own. So
he
is expected to be able to go home in about 3 weeks. So he is talking. I spoke to him myself. His voice is strong. He is a mighty, mighty soldier, and Allah has given us a perfect testimony in Brother Jahad. And so if anything can make you a believer, then knowing that brother's story and seeing where he's come from, he was, the prognosis was that he had a 5 to 10% chance of survival. Mm-hmm. And so here he is now on the way home. All praises to Allah.
Allahu
okay.
Akbar. Yeah.
Yes, Allahu Akbar. And of course on Tuesday night we'll do a rebroadcast of him, and we're going to keep doing rebroadcast of him until he comes back. And when he comes back, oh, how we going to welcome him back. I'm calling
That's
out
right.
everybody. Everybody going to be
right.
on the show. We might have to do a 3-hour show, but everybody's coming
yeah,
back to
yeah.
welcome him back. Yes, sir. Okay, and on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 p.m. And on Thursday, I'll be back with another topic. I supposed to be doing one on the prison industrial complex with a brother, but since I counseled on him yesterday, I don't know if he's going to come back. But if not, we'll still cover it down with some of the student ministers who are over the prison ministry of the Nation of Islam. And, of course, next Friday, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James with our live study group, Put on the New Man. So may Allah bless you and keep you, and may I see you all at Savior's Day this year. And so
Inshallah.
Let us leave with the light of understanding, and I leave you as we came in peace. Our nation greetings words. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love.
Walaikum
salam.
Love it.
But Oscar, I'm going to call you right now, beloved.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. Walaikum salam, baby.